The following is a lecture entitled Wishy-Washy Wannabe to Ecstatic Devotee, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on September 17th, 2016, in Dwarka, Delhi, India.
So I'm very happy to be back here in Dwarka, Delhi, a wonderful center of ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. I'm very happy to see how enthusiastic you all are for the kirtan. This is a very good sign. If we can just develop this kirtan ras, this taste for kirtan, we'll be completely protected from the influence of the material nature. So please dive deeply, deeply, deeply into kirtan ras. Prabhupada says it is the only safe position in this material world. I've been asked to give a special topic lecture tonight. The topic is this: wishy-wishy wannabe to ecstatic devotee. In other words, you start off as a wishy-wishy wannabe and you learn how to become an ecstatic devotee. So they want me to speak on how you make that transition from being a wishy-wishy wannabe to being an ecstatic devotee. And I can tell you right now, the secret is to this system of transforming your wishy-washiness into ecstatic bhakti is given right there in the Bhagavad Gita. It's actually in chapter 5, text 20 and 21. I encourage you all to become very familiar with these two verses. They go together. 520 and 521. So first, we'll chant this mantra to invoke auspiciousness, and we'll take a look at those verses. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So first we'll look at 520. Krishna says, Naprahirashat Priyang Prapya, Novajat Prapacha Priyam, Stirabudhirasang Mudho, Brahmavid Brahmanistitaha. A person who neither rejoices upon achieving something pleasant, nor laments upon obtaining something unpleasant, who is self-intelligent, who is unbewildered, and who knows the science of God, is already situated in transcendence. Purport. The symptoms of the self-realized person are given herein. The first symptom is that he is not illusioned by the false identification of the body with his true self. He knows perfectly well that he is not this body, but is the fragmental portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is therefore not joyful in achieving something, nor does he lament in losing anything which is related to his body. This steadiness of mind is called sthita buddhi, or self-intelligence. He is therefore never bewildered by mistaking the gross body for the soul, nor does he accept the body as permanent and disregard the existence of the soul. This knowledge elevates him to the station of knowing the complete science of the absolute truth, namely Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. He thus knows his constitutional position perfectly well without falsely trying to become one with the Supreme in all respects. This is called Brahman realization or self-realization. Such steady consciousness is called Krishna consciousness. So, a neophyte devotee, you see, when things are going really great, he gets all bubbly and excited, giddy, you see. And when things are down, he becomes morose. But this means his vision is not very deep. An advanced devotee cultivates deep philosophical vision. He doesn't see through his senses, he sees through the eyes of the scriptures. From the scriptures we learn that Krishna is bestowing unlimited mercy upon all living entities at every minute to help them come back to Him as soon as possible. So if you have this faith and this vision that everything that's happening to you at every minute is Krishna's special personal arrangement just for you, to help you get out of the illusion of material existence and come back to His eternal abode ASAP. So with that kind of vision, hey, no such thing as a bad day. You see what I'm saying? No such thing as a bad experience. And in that vision, everything is, even the most ugly catastrophes of material life, are the most wonderful, beautiful moments of experiencing the mercy of Krishna. So if you can develop this kind of vision, it's called equanimity. It's the first quality of a brahmana given in Bhagavad Gita. He sees everything equally by seeing everything is a special mercy of Krishna. Samaha, first quality of Rama. Shamadamastapatshocham. His first quality is same samaha, or sameness, you see. Even the Sanskrit and the English are the same. Samaha means sameness. Seeing everything the same. It's all the mercy of Krishna. So if you cultivate that kind of a vision, you become ecstatic. Because everything is nectar. Poison, there's no such thing as poison for someone who is in Krishna consciousness. Actually, for someone who's not in Krishna consciousness, everything is poison. Even the so-called enjoyments of material life are also poison. So you simply have to see everything in relation with Krishna. That's why you have to read these books. This is why you have to hear from the bona fide spiritual master. Because by the vision you get by hearing from Guru, by reading scriptures, you develop this ability to see everything as the blessing of Krishna upon you. And then everything becomes one step closer to Krishna. At every minute you're going closer and closer to Krishna. And there's an insider secret in this connection given by Srila Prabhupada. If you take one step towards Krishna, He takes 10 steps towards you. So just imagine if there was some investment in the material world like that, you could invest $1 and get $10 back. It'd be a pretty good investment, wouldn't it? Just imagine you took $1, you invested it, and you got 10 back. You took the 10, invested it, got 100. You moved from 100 to 1,000, 1,000 to 10,000, 10,000 to a lakh. In this way, you'd become a multi-billionaire after just a few investments, just from $1. Well, that's Krishna consciousness. You see? That is Krishna consciousness. You don't have to be a great spiritualist, a great transcendentalist. You can be a completely bewildered, fallen soul caught up in material sense gratification. But if you'll just take one step towards Krishna, that's all you have to do. Take one step towards Krishna. And see what happens. And you go, wow. Take that step and keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes and your mind open, you see. Take that one step and then see what happens. And you'll go, wow, this is amazing. I couldn't believe it. I just took one little step towards Krishna and He reciprocated 10 times more. So in this way, you just have to learn how to open up your mind to try to see how Krishna is acting in your life. It doesn't matter whether you're rich, poor, famous, beautiful, ugly, male, female, Indian, American. It doesn't matter anything. Material situation doesn't matter. There are people who are complete paupers who were lepers that became pure devotees. And people who are wealthy politicians that became... It does, your external situation has absolutely nothing to do with your happiness. We're thinking to be happy, we have to improve our material situation. I guarantee you this, no matter how much you improve your material situation, you're not going to be any happier. You really won't be. Because you're being dragged by Yamaraj to death at every minute. He's got a hold of you, he's dragging you to death. If you identify with your material body. So. But if you understand, I'm not this material body, I'm an eternal spiritual being. I actually have an identity in the pastimes of Krishna in the spiritual world. What am I doing here identifying with this lump of flesh? You understand? Why am I so damn stupid? I'm identifying with this lump of flesh. It's time to kick yourself. Give yourself a good philosophical kick. You see? But you know what Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said in this connection? He said, when you wake up in the morning, beat your mind with shoes 100 times. And before you take rest at night, give the shoes a rest, go to the broom closet. Beat your mind with a broomstick 100 times before you take rest at night. You see? So this way, if you learn how to bring your mind under control by saying, wait a minute, actually Krishna is here. Krishna is acting. Krishna is real. He's not a myth. Like Gandhi said, he was a myth. No, Gandhi was wrong. In spite of all the respect we have for Gandhi, at this point he was wrong. He said Krishna was a myth. Krishna was not a myth. Krishna is the foundation of reality. Reality only exists because Krishna is manifesting it from himself. You exist because Krishna is manifesting you from himself right now. Not because your mom or dad want to have a baby. Is it? You, the spiritual being, are an emanation from Krishna. Like the sun is emanating sun rays, you are a ray of God. He's emanating you from himself to expand his own enjoyment, because it's like we here enjoy very much a big group of devotees being together. The more you expand your association, the more it becomes fun and enlivening. So Krishna expands his enjoyment unlimitedly by emanating from himself an unlimited millions and billions of living entities, with each of whom he has a loving, personal, unique, loving relationship. Can you imagine? Actually, there's a material example in this connection. Snowflakes. You get snow here sometimes in Delhi? Snow? Is there a snow here? No. We don't get much in South Texas, in Austin, Texas either. But in North Texas, they get it up in the Panhandle. But when I was a kid, I lived up in St. Louis, and we got a lot of snow. And we studied it in school. They took the snowflakes under a microscope, and they saw that every snowflake is unique. That each one has a beautiful pattern, and there are no two snowflakes in all of existence that are the same. They're all different. So in the same way that every snowflake has its own unique, beautiful patterns, each and every living entity that Krishna is emanating from himself have a unique personality. Everybody, your personality is different from somebody else's personality, because Krishna wanted it that way. So he can just like if you came to the feast, said, okay, everyone come, we're having a big feast tonight. You sit down, they serve out the rice, and you go, well, where's the feast? Well, there it is, it's the rice. But I thought it was a feast. It is. See this bowl of rice? That's the feast. Now wait a minute, feast means mini, mini prep. It's like sometimes on Janmashtami. I remember one time I went on Tamal Krishna Goswami's Vyas Puja, 1,008 preps. Now that's a feast. And he tasted every one of them. Can you imagine? That's really a feast. So the point is, the more you have variety, the more it's enjoyable. Therefore, Krishna has an unlimited variety of living entities to have a Sangha feast, if you know what I mean. Sangha Mela. Krishna experiences his existence as a Sangha Mela, a festival of associating, of having unique loving relationships with millions and billions of living entities. But say, well, how could he possibly do that? He's only one person. How could he have a relationship with an infinite number of relationships with an infinite number of intimate relationships with an infinite number of living entities? Wouldn't it kind of wear him out? No. Look at the example of Krishna and Dwarka. How many queens? 16,108. And he went to the court to sit on the throne. In the day there was one Krishna. At night, how many Krishnas were there when he went home? He split into 16,108 Krishnas in the evening. So each queen got to have Krishna all to herself, and she's thinking that, wow, those poor other queens, I get Krishna all to myself every night. I'm wondering, but they must be crying and they're not getting anything. Every queen was thinking, only I am getting Krishna. Oh, poor other queen. Well, what can I do? He loves me more. Right? So in the same way that Krishna expands himself unlimitedly to associate with those queens, he expands himself unlimitedly to associate with each and every one of his pure devotees. Notice I said pure devotees. You see. We have cut it, in the material world, we have cut ourselves off from Krishna because why? We wanted to imitate Krishna. That I am also Krishna. You see. You see. First time I came to the Holy Land of India, I was in the Delhi airport. And one gentleman came up to me, he saw me as a young brahmachari from America, bright-faced young brahmachari. He thought he could set me straight. He said, "We are all Krishna here." You see, I'm thinking, I'm Krishna, you're Krishna, we're all Krishna. He said, we're not. We are Krishna Das. Jivara Svarupahai Krishnara Nityadas. We are not Krishna. I used to preach on the University of Florida campus many years ago during the height of the hippie Mayavadi era. And every hippie thought he was an incarnation of God. And they would come up to me when I was serving out the prasadam and they would say, "I am God." You see? So I said, "Oh, really? Well, tell me when I was born." You see what I'm saying? We try to be God, but we can't be God. They say, "I am God, but right now I have to realize that that's all. I'm actually God, but I just forgot about it. Just give me a little time, I'll do a little meditation, you know, I'll do a few yoga asanas, and then I'll come out as God again." But tell me, that means that forgetfulness is greater than God. If you are God, how could you ever forget that you're God? You see what I'm saying? If you are actually the Supreme Person, how could you ever forget it? That means forgetfulness is more powerful than God. That means forgetfulness is God, not you. God means the greatest power. So God can never become forgetful. So give up any idea you have lurking there, sneaking in a corner of your heart that you're God. You're absolutely not God. You're the eternal servant of God. But qualitatively you are God. You share the same qualities of God. In that sense you are God. God is eternal, you are eternal. God's full of bliss, you are full of bliss. God is full of knowledge, you are full of knowledge. How is that? Well, it's the drop of the ocean compared with the entire ocean. You see, Krishna is the entire ocean, and you are the drop. So in a test tube, we can say, yes, you are qualitatively God. You have the same chemical substance composition as the entire ocean. But we can't float a cruise ship on you, you see. You can't float a cruise ship on a drop of water. You can on the entire ocean. So we're tiny samples of God, that's all right. But we're not the complete whole. We're part of God. So it's very important one understands this distinction. Now we'll look at the second verse, which goes along with this, 5:21. Baya svasheshva saktatma vindat yatmani yat sukham. So Brahma Yoga Yuktatma Sukham Akshayam Ashnute. Such a liberated person is not attracted to material sense pleasure, but is always in trance, enjoying the pleasure within. In this way, the self-realized person enjoys unlimited happiness, for he concentrates on the Supreme. That's pretty transcendental, isn't it? How would you like to be in that consciousness? But it didn't matter at all what's happening here in Delhi or in India or in anywhere in this world. You're completely beyond this world. You're in a state of trance. What is trance called? Krishna consciousness. If you're actually Krishna conscious, you're in a state of trance. And if you're not in a state of trance, you're one of those wannabes who wants to be in a state of trance, but you're not quite there yet. This lecture is to teach you how to get into that state of trance. From being a wannabe to actually relishing the ecstasy at every minute within your heart. So how do you make the transition? That's the interesting question. Rupa Goswami gives a very nice formula how you actually make the transition. There are steps you have to take. Just like if you want to bake a cake, you get out the cookbook, you follow the recipe. It's not difficult to bake a cake if you follow the recipe. You can actually enter into a state of trance if you follow the recipe given by Rupa Goswami. You don't have to guess. Then you don't have to go to the kitchen and say, "Oh, bake a cake," and just throw some. No, you don't have to guess. You get out the cookbook. You do exactly what the cookbook says, and you get a beautiful cake. So if you follow Rupa Goswami's directions, you will enter into a state of trance, relishing the pleasure within your heart, tasting unlimited happiness within your heart at every minute, if you follow Rupa Goswami's formula. Step number one, have faith in the process, Shraddha. It's called preliminary faith, because you may be a little skeptical. Well, I don't know if this really works or not, but I have enough faith to give it a try. Because it looks to me like these devotees are really happier than I am. Especially the senior ones. They seem to be much happier than me. So, at least I have some preliminary faith. Don't put your hand in your mouth. Don't put your finger in your mouth. It's muchi. At least I have some preliminary faith to give it a try. That's called Shraddha, preliminary faith. And then, the next step is Sadhu Sangha. You see those devotees who are those persons practicing Krishna consciousness, they're called devotees, you associate with them. Because as Krishna points out in Gita, Sangat Sanjayate Kama, one's consciousness is developed according to the company that he keeps. If you associate with devotees, you become a devotee. You associate with drunkards, you become a drunkard. You see what I'm saying? You associate with gamblers, you remain a gambler. So you associate with devotees. That's the second step. You have some preliminary faith. This looks pretty good. I'm going to give it a sincere try. And then you associate with those who are doing it, the devotees. And then you see what the devotees do. Well, they don't eat meat. They don't have illicit sex. They don't gamble. They don't smoke cigarettes. They don't drink liquor. They don't smoke marijuana. They live a pure life. And what do? They chant this mantra. It goes like, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So you find out what are the practices. And you actually, if you study carefully, you see, well, you're supposed to get serious about this and accept a spiritual master, get initiated by a bona fide spiritual master. He'll actually relieve you of your past karma when you take shelter of him by initiation. So you go, okay, I'll give it a try. I'm really convinced now that this is the thing for me to do, so I'm going to do it and get initiated. Now is your business finished? Now I'm initiated, now I'm a pure devotee, I'm already living? No. Initiate means to begin something, right? We're going to initiate something. Initiate a new fundraising drive. Initiation means the beginning. It's not the end. Initiate means now you're officially beginning. You're fully registered a participant in the process of Krishna consciousness. So what do you do as an initiated devotee? You obey your spiritual master. You hear from him. You serve him. Krishna explains in Gita. Krishna says, this is what you're supposed to do. Tadvidi panipatena paripashnena sevaya upadengshati te jnanam jnananas tatpadarshinaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master. Render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. So that's the next step. You actually get initiated by a bona fide spiritual master and you follow his instructions. Now you're making really solid progress. But it's an uphill struggle right now still because the senses are there. They're demanding. The senses want sense gratification. And you're saying, no, you can't have it. I've been serving you for millions and billions of lifetimes, and now, my dear senses, you can just, you know, cool off because I have something else to do rather than serve you. You're going to get only what I need to keep healthy, and beyond that, I'm not going to gratify you. So in the beginning, it's a struggle. You have to tell your senses no. You see? Somebody may want to have illicit sex. They have to tell their genitals no. Somebody might want to smoke a cigarette. They have to tell their tongue, no, you can't have a cigarette. You see, you have to discipline yourself. No, you can't have it. You have to chant Hare Krishna instead. So in the beginning, it's a struggle sometimes to take up this process. Because the senses are demanding sense gratification. You have to tell them to be quiet. Like a little naughty child screaming for something that's not healthy for it. And the mother says, no, you can't have it. You have to be strong like that, like a mother and a child. You have to be strong to discipline your senses to not indulge in sense gratification unnecessarily beyond what is required to keep body and soul together. So as you do this, as you engage yourself in Krishna consciousness, even though it's a struggle sometimes, you finally get to a point called anartana vritti, where your alma is completely purified now. You see that you've been tasting the holy name for so many years, and sense gratification is not so appealing anymore. You get to a point. See, in the beginning, you're going up, up. Like it's like you're going to some town. It's like every year I go to Santiago and to, Chile and Mendoza, Argentina, on my world travels for preaching. I have disciples in Santiago and also in Mendoza, Argentina. But between the two cities is a huge Andes mountain. You see. We actually take an airplane to go over. And if you were to drive or ride a bicycle, it's a huge mountain range. The Andes is a very high mountain range, something like your Himalayas, a huge mountain range between the two places. So on the way up, it'd be a very big struggle, but on the way down, you're just gliding. You see. So once you get past anartana vritti, once you actually get those material desires subdued by disciplining them, then it becomes easy, it becomes automatic. So in the beginning, it's a struggle. You have to embrace the struggle with great enthusiasm, determination, and patience. But if you will do that, having faith in the Guru, having faith in the scriptures, what will happen is you finally get to the point where the struggle is finished. And now you're just gliding in. And once you achieve anartana vritti, then it's just a downhill glide after that. You go to the states called ruchi, where you relish unlimited pleasure in the name of Krishna. You can go on chanting for millions and billions of lifetimes. Tunde tandamani viting vitinate tandamali lamteye karna krodha kanamani gatayate kanabrade braspeham. Chaitapangana sangani vijayate subendram niyanam kitim no jane janita kriyam viramita krishna divarna dvai. Rupa Goswami describes ruchi in this verse. He says, I do not know how much nectar these two syllables Krishna have produced. Because when I vibrate Krishna, there's so much nectar oozing out that my one little mouth just can't hold all the nectar. And when I vibrate Krishna, there's so much nectar flowing into my ears. I need to have billions and trillions of ears to capture that nectar. And when Krishna dances in the courtyard of my heart, oh, I'm stunned, I'm paralyzed by the ecstatic, powerful mercy of the holy names. So in this way, Rupa Goswami describes that stage called ruchi. And at that point, once you get to that point, then you automatically transition into pure bhakti, which is, its first stage is called asakti. And that is when you're absolutely, totally, completely attached to Krishna. You don't have any attachment to anything else except everything is Krishna, 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 Krishna. Nothing else attracts you except for Krishna. And then once you get to that stage, then you actually, it is revealed to you what is your relationship in the pastimes of Krishna. And you begin to feel the ecstasies of that particular mood of service. And you actually learn how to reciprocate in a loving mood according to your particular relationship with Krishna. And when you become perfect in that, then you become actually reinstated in that eternal rasa with Krishna. That's called prema. So these stages are there. So you have to go through these steps. You can't jump beyond them. You have to go through these steps if you want to achieve perfection. You have to have faith. You have to associate with devotees. You have to get initiated. You have to obey your spiritual master. Follow the rules and regulations very strictly. And then gradually, gradually, gradually it will come. It's like I've been doing this for 45 years. And if I look back to where I was 45 years ago, it's like a million miles difference. I mean, I can't, if I 45 years ago, I never could imagine I'd be sitting here with a hall full of people telling all these things. You see? I couldn't have imagined it 45 years ago. But if you stick with this process, you're going to have an amazing awakening of Krishna consciousness within your heart. You will understand what Krishna says when he talks about trance. There's an inner state of meditation with unlimited happiness, you see. As this verse said, there's an inner state of meditation that has unlimited happiness. Say that verse again. Sukham akshayam ashnute, yeah. He enjoys unlimited happiness. So, it's your choice, ladies and gentlemen. You want to keep suffering them in the cycle of birth and death? And would you like to enjoy unlimited happiness, which is transcendental to anything or everything that's happening in the even death will not bother you. See, if someone who has actually awakened their Krishna consciousness, death is just like a glob jamun, popping a glob jamun. Death. Death is the most fearful thing for the non-devotee. For a Vaishnava, someone who's actually a devotee, death is it's like a glob jamun or a rasagula. Would you like a rasagula? Would you mind? You see, what is death for one who is fixed in Krishna consciousness? I go to sleep after a hard day's work and I wake up with Krishna in the spiritual world. You see, if I gave you a chance to wake up to something like this and you could be in the spiritual world, would you like it? Well, that's what death is. If you practice Krishna consciousness seriously, you're an initiated devotee, you're sincerely practicing under your bona fide spiritual master, death is like, okay, now I'll wake up in Krishna's pastimes. Boom. Like that. Pretty ecstatic, isn't it? And you don't even have to wait. Prabhupada personally wrote me a letter. He said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. You don't have to die to actually see Krishna directly. The pure devotees can see him even now in their present bodies. You know that shloka? Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksadaiva hirayeshi valokayanti yangshama shundaramachant jaganasparupam govindamadi purusham tamaham vajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is Shama Sundar, Krishna himself, with inconceivable, innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts with the eye of devotion, tinged with the salve of love. So you can directly experience Krishna. You can even see his lila if you become a pure devotee, even before leaving your body. So why not strive for pure bhakti? Why strive for anything except for pure bhakti? That's my question. Why should you desire anything except for pure bhakti? Of course, there's one other thing, and that's to spread pure bhakti all over the world. The conditioned souls, you see. Two desires. I want to become a pure devotee, and I want to make the whole world Krishna conscious, you see. Those desires are really good. I want to revolutionize my heart, and I want to revolutionize the world. Make that your meditation. Actually, we chant that every morning, do you know that? Bahir Nasingho Hridaye Nasingho. You know what it means? Prabhupada explains the inner meaning of that verse. In his Bhagavatam Purport, we sing it every day. Bahir Nasingho Hridaye Nasingho. It means, Prabhupada says, may Krishna dwell within my heart, killing all of my bad propensities, so that my mind becomes completely clean and I can spread peace all over the whole world. So the devotee is actually praying, please bless me with pure bhakti and please empower me to make this whole world Krishna conscious. He cannot tolerate to see even one person who is not fixed in Krishna consciousness. You see? The pure devotee is in great distress to see so many millions and billions of living entities caught up in karma chakra. Therefore, his burning desire is to save every one of them. So in this way, try to understand how to enter in a state of trance and relish the sweetest nectar at every minute. If you're a wannabe, that's very good. We like wannabes. Now we'll teach you how to actually be what you want to be. So I can ask now if there's any questions. We're kind of short on time tonight, so what I'll do is that we have... Actually, all the questions are answered here. I have a book called Truth Works. And I have an e-course on the internet. You can go to joincourse.com and get onto it. Joincourse.com. And I have 19,000 subscribers all over the world. And I get so many questions. So I've taken all the most important questions and put them with answers in this book. So even if you don't have a question now, this book will probably answer questions that you've had or do have. So this book is available. We only have a few copies. And it's really on a first-come, first-served basis. We're asking a little contribution of 1,000 rupees to help cover the printing cost. It's very nicely done in the West with color plates. And so we do ask for 1,000 rupees donation. And you get a written blessing with your name. You tell me your name and I'll write a blessing for you in your book. And you also get a free bonus book that goes along with it, absolutely free. Stop Worrying and Start Living. It comes as a free gift along with the book if you take this one. So we'll stop here. Anybody who wants a book, please come forward. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.